Can you smell that? That is the smell of a nightmare client. And I'm going to teach you how to sniff them out and avoid them altogether on this episode. Are you ready? Let's go! What is up, self-maders? Welcome to another episode of the Self-Made Web Designer Podcast. The world of web design freelancing, it's a pretty cool place filled with many amazing clients. And I've had the privilege of serving a lot of clients who were just fantastic. Like, we're now best friends, okay? They come over for holidays. I know their children. Okay, that's maybe overindulging a little bit. But suffice it to say, they were awesome people to work with. But at the same time, I've had some nightmare clients that were unpleasable, sometimes unresponsive for days or months, and overall gave me a really hard time trying to do a good job for them on their project. And when you're first getting started, it's kind of tough to see the warning signs of those nightmare clients. But over the years, I've found a few ways to make sure that you can see these types of clients coming from a mile away. And I'm going to share those tips with you this week. And hey, if you stick around until the end of the episode, I am going to show you how you can get some questionnaires that I have clients fill out so that I can kind of get a good hint of whether or not they're going to be a nightmare to work with before I even start the conversation. So make sure that you stick to the end and I'll tell you how you can grab that for yourself. All right. Are you ready to learn 8 different ways to sniff out nightmare clients and avoid them all together? All right, let's do it. Number one, the first way to sniff out nightmare clients and avoid them is to talk to them before accepting a project. And this might seem like a little bit of a, no duh, Chris, why are you telling us things that are just plain common sense? But listen, it happens to the best of us. We get lazy. We tend to think, oh man, this email's great. This person seems great. This direct message seems awesome. I feel comfortable moving forward without having a conversation. You know, and even being a remote freelancer myself, I tend to pride myself on the ability to communicate without having to be face to face. And maybe it's pride that makes me delusional, but for some reason, every once in a while, I decide to go against my own rules and accept a job without talking to someone first, without talking to the person that I'm going to be working with before I actually take on the project. And inevitably, it always turns out bad. Almost every client that I have had that offered me the project sight unseen has turned out poorly. So make sure you get on the phone. Remember, they're not just interviewing you, you're interviewing them, okay? This is a two-way street. Even if you're desperate for clients, right? You'd rather be desperate for a good client than find yourself in a situation where you have accepted work from a bad client that ruins your reputation, that takes up all of your time, that frustrates you, and almost, you know, in some cases might lead you to quit altogether. It is worth it to hold out for those clients that are going to be awesome to work with. And one of the only ways to do that, to figure out if that's the type of client you're working with, is to get on the phone. So ask questions like, have you ever worked with a freelancer before? Or what do you see this project working out to be? Or what would a win look like for you, right? Go as far and as in-depth as you can on those first few conversations so that you don't run into trouble in the middle of a project when they've already signed a contract, when they've already made a commitment. And you're also trying to get a feel for their personality, right? Some clients aren't bad. They're just bad for you, right? If you have a personality that you just hate working with, don't say yes to those people, okay? So get on the phone and figure out if that's the type of person that you are going to be working with. Number two, another way to avoid nightmare clients and to sniff them out is to set really clear expectations at the very beginning. There's so much that can be missed in initial conversations. And I don't know about you, but I get a bit nervous when I'm on a sales call with clients, right? And when that happens, I end up missing things that I need to communicate in the excitement, in my giddy stage, in the honeymoon stage where everything is looked at through rose-colored glasses. And that's why you'll want to have a checklist of things that you ask and a checklist of things that you explain to the client in that first conversation. I once had a client that was appalled that I would suggest using WordPress for her website as a platform. And I thought I had been pretty clear in communicating that WordPress is the majority of what I do, if not everything, involves WordPress on the projects that I am working on. But somehow I missed that with her. And I tried to salvage the contract, but inevitably I ended up having to walk away. And that could have been avoided had I set really clear expectations at the very beginning that I was going through, just making sure, do you understand that I do things this way? So make sure you don't pull any punches about who you are and what you're capable of in the beginning. It's also important to set clear expectations of what you're expecting of the client, right? And what they can expect from you. If you don't state up front that you only do 3 rounds of revisions, right? Prepare to do an endless number of tweaks and changes before you're finally finished with the project. And I found if you tell your clients exactly what to look for and when to look for it, they're pretty reasonable in the middle of a project, right? But you can't get mad if they can't seem to settle on a page layout if you never told them at the beginning that they had limited options, right? And I know the fear is that if you're too honest, then they might not end up hiring you. And listen, I'm not asking you to completely air your dirty laundry in front of a client before they actually say yes to you and sign up to have you work on their project. And you probably shouldn't air your dirty laundry no matter what stage of the project that you're in. But there's always a way to communicate honestly and openly without sounding like that you're not capable of doing what they need you to do. And I typically try to give a benefit with every limitation that I have. So for instance, if I can't do a part of the project that they're hoping to have done, I explain, I've narrowed my efforts on web design so I can give you a really focused and high quality deliverable in that specific area, right? And they'd be better off finding someone that is highly skilled in that discipline specifically. So you see what I did? I did a limitation. And then I showed them the benefit of why that limitation actually worked in their favor. Number three, do your research. And this is good marketing and it's smart business, right? Dig a little bit into who you're working for. Go on LinkedIn. See if you have any connections. See if anyone has given them a review online. See if they've left any reviews for someone on the internet. People that love to leave negative reviews aren't hard to find, right? They leave a trail that follows them around the internet, a trail of bodies of people that they have scorched because they were unhappy with their service. Yet, despite how easy it is to find, so many people feel shocked when their reputation is smeared by a serial bad reviewer, right? So make sure that you're doing a little bit of research. And if after all your research, you decide you'd like to work with this client, you now have a lot of ammo to look really good. You can bring up what you found and use it to show them that you are thorough and you're going to take care of them and do a good job. And do all of that, of course, without sounding creepy like you've been planning yourself outside of their house watching them on a daily basis, okay? We're talking about just the normal amount of research when it comes to looking up your clients, okay? Don't go overboard. Number four, have an escape clause. If you aren't proceeding every project you take with a signed contract, then you're asking for disaster. I always ask for half of the full amount of the project up front and a quarter of the project a month from the beginning. And this keeps projects from lasting longer than they really should because of a lack of feedback, right? So I found if clients have to pay you on a timeline, whether or not the project is finished, they'll be much more motivated to stay in touch with you and get things done. For example, I had a client that asked for a quick turnaround and I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to do it, but I pushed some other things aside and made it happen. And I finished my end of the bargain and then I didn't hear from him for 3 months. I was like, what happened to that quick turnaround, buddy? Okay, I moved to heaven and earth just to try to finish this for you. And then finally, when he got back to me, he had had a number of revisions that he wanted, but he hadn't paid the other quarter of the project fee. And thankfully, I had a contract and refused to keep going until he paid his end. If I didn't have that, I would have been handcuffed to his whims. And unfortunately, I eventually had to pull out of this project because the client was incredibly difficult to work with. But because of the contract, I had a clear route to make sure both parties left without feeling they had been wrong. So do yourself a favor, make sure to find and customize a contract that will protect you and your client if scenarios like this happen. If you want more info about contracts with freelance clients, I have an entire episode devoted to that with an attorney named Paige Griffith. Paige is awesome and she's got really great insight. And in fact, she has contract templates to use specifically for web designers. I will link that show in the show notes and make sure that you check it out. Number five, the fifth way to avoid nightmare clients and sniff them out is to trust your gut. Every once in a while, there's a tiny little voice in my head that says, "Hey, Chris, don't take this one. You'll thank me later." Do you have that voice too? I mean, I'm sure they don't say, "Hey, Chris," unless your name is Chris. But Malcolm Gladwell actually talks about how there's more to what we call our intuition than what's on the surface level. In his book, Blink, he describes how our decision-making is actually based upon thousands of indicators that we've perceived either knowingly or unknowingly. So really, sometimes your gut isn't just your gut. It's your brain moving faster than your own thought processes, okay? So even though what your gut is telling you might seem completely illogical, it might actually be the most logical thing to do to go ahead and listen to it. I've explained my gut away a number of times. I tell myself things like, it's the perfect job, or I don't have anything else coming up, so I really need to do this actual project, or I just say, shut up, indigestion, okay? But I always kick myself afterward when I take the dang job, and sure enough, it ends up really sucking. So do yourself a favor and go with your gut. If you need help, ask a friend or family member that you trust with what they think about the project. If I'm ever in doubt, I ask my wife, and she's always a great sounding board. Number six, the sixth way to avoid nightmare clients and sniff them out is to listen. Bad clients will sometimes give themselves away in the initial conversation. Like, here's a few key phrases that give them away almost instantly. If this goes well, I've got a lot of work coming up for you. Have you heard that one? Or what about this one, right? This could be a really good portfolio piece, okay? Like, don't make me laugh the instant I hear that. Or what about this? You should be able to get this done in no time. I'm sure it's really simple for someone like you. If you ever hear someone say these things, run or hang up. Better yet, run and hang up, okay? All of these phrases are tactics to convince you that they're doing you a favor to give them a deal or provide a quick turnaround. I've never had an amazing client that told me any of these things beforehand. Why? Because actions speak louder than words. If someone is trying to convince me with their words, it makes me wonder if they're overcompensating for their actions. Number seven, know who you're actually looking for. As a freelancer, you should have a clear vision of what your ideal clients look like. It's okay to get really specific with this one. You can ask things like, what's their age? What's their income? What kind of business do they have? How long have they been in business? Do they have a family? How many kids, right? The more specific you get, the more you're able to turn away people that just aren't right for you. In the marketing world, this is called the customer avatar. And in UX design, this is called a user persona. And some people even give these fictional people a name. They do this so it's easy to remember when you're on a call or prospecting through leads what exactly you're looking for. So if your potential client isn't in your ideal customer avatar, it's a good sign you might need to let that client go. And listen, I know this is hard. You hate to turn away business because you don't know when you'll get the next opportunity. But trust me, it's going to come. But if you're tying yourself up with bad clients, you won't be able to say yes to good clients. So do yourself a favor, turn them down from the get-go. Figure out exactly who you want to be working for, because if not, you'll end up working for anybody and miss out on the somebody you really want. Number eight, and the final tip to help sniff out nightmare clients is to set up a gauntlet. I always make potential clients fill out a pretty extensive form, and I do this for a few reasons. Number one, it helps me get a really good picture of who they are and what they need. But number two, it shows me they're willing to work alongside me to accomplish a common goal. And whether the client likes it or not, there's going to be some work on their part that they're going to do to make sure that this project goes along smoothly. And this is true no matter who you hire to build your website or app or do copywriting or do development or whatever it is that you need, right? We need details. We need info. We need content. Dang it, right? Like, I don't know of a web design freelancer or business that doesn't need a hefty amount of information and cooperation with their clients. So if someone is hesitant or unwilling to put in the work to fill out a form with some questions about their business, it's a huge red flag that they might not be the one for you. Want to know how to get a full list of questionnaires that I use on clients before I say yes to a project? There is a link in the show notes that's going to take you to a form that you can sign up and get all of the questions that I ask. And I even threw in a contact form 7 formatting. So if you use contact form 7 on WordPress, this is already ready for you to go. You can plop it in. That's right. Just plop it in to the WordPress contact form 7 and it is ready to go. You know what? It's not impossible to avoid bad clients. It sometimes just takes some time actually getting some bad clients, realizing what they sounded like and looked like and the things that they did before you said yes to them, and knowing what to look for the next time you start talking to someone that you're potentially going to be working with. Hopefully these tips are going to help you avoid the worst of the worst. And again, at first it's kind of difficult to spot a bad client quickly, but eventually you're going to get the hang of it and it'll be second nature. So until then, use these tips to avoid those nightmare clients and sniff them out. Okay. I hope you enjoyed this episode and I hope you had a lot of fun listening. Make sure you subscribe to the Self-Made Web Designer podcast. We always have a lot of fun and always have a lot of good insight from me or from some guests. And, you know, make sure you know we're going to do this again. We do it every single week and the episodes drop Wednesday night at midnight Arizona time, MST, if you are wondering. So make sure you stay up with me until next week when another episode fresh and funky arrives on your podcast listening platform. Until then, keep working hard and don't forget, if you don't quit, you quit.